Iku Iluno. Please rise. Ahea oko eko ka aha. Nahe huliana imua okea aha. Ho o kolo kolo ki ike hanahano. Oko mako aina o Hawaii. E nae mai, e maleo mai, e lohi ia kaleo. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. All persons having any business before this honorable Supreme Court of the State of Hawaii, draw nigh. Give attention and you shall be heard. E noho ilan, please be seated. Please call the case.
Case number SCAP-24-0000819. Maui Tomorrow Foundation, Plaintiff Appellee versus Maui Planning Commission, County of Maui and County of Maui, Defendants Appellants. Arguing for appellants, Maui Planning Commission et al., Deputy Corporation Counsel Brian Bilberry. Arguing for Appellee, Maui Tomorrow Foundation, Lance Collins. Also appearing is Bianca Isaki. Argument on the merits.
Hello and good afternoon. Today's proceedings are being broadcast live on the Judiciary's YouTube channel and also on Olelo. Also want to welcome our Substitute Justice from the First Circuit, Judge Paul Wong. Thank you for participating in this matter. Counsel, ready to proceed? Okay, each side has 30 minutes. Understand, Mr. Bibber, you want to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal?
That's correct.
We'll do so. And also, the yellow light will indicate 10 minutes left in your time, Mr. Collins. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you, Your Honors, for taking the time to hear this case. I am going to start from the bird's eye view and then zoom in pretty quickly on what I believe is ultimately going to be an issue of statutory interpretation and legislative intent. So we're talking about the special management area, and I'll begin with Hawaii Revised Statute Section 205A-21. Going to be a dry read maybe, but again, I think this sets the bird's eye view of why we're here today. And that section, which is again Section 205A-21, is the findings and purposes contained in the State Coastal Zone Management Act. And it provides, quote, the legislature finds that special controls on developments within an area along the shoreline are necessary to avoid permanent losses of valuable resources and the foreclosure of management options, and to ensure that adequate access by dedication or other means to public owned or used beaches, recreational areas, and natural reserves is provided. The legislature finds and declares that it is the state policy to preserve, protect, and where possible, restore the natural resources of the coastal zone of Hawaii. So I think that kind of provides a bird's eye view. And I believe that the focus here in this particular case is the language that specifically says the legislature finds that, quote, specific controls on developments within an area along the shoreline are necessary. Zooming in a little bit, we look at Hawaii Revised Statute Section 205A-2, and particularly I'm looking at 205A-2B, which are the objectives of the act, and then Section 205A-2C, which are the policies. I'm gonna paraphrase the objectives real quickly. There are 10 that are listed, and that is to provide recreational opportunities. That is 205A-2B1, protect and preserve historical resources. That's 2B2, open space, 2B3, coastal ecology, 2B4, provide public and private economic uses important to the state, 2B5, address coastal hazards, 2B6, manage development, 2B7, with public participation, 2B8, protect beaches for recreation, 2B9, and to protect marine resources, 2B10. Section 205A-2, which are the policies, track each of those 10 objectives and provides a lot more detail in terms of what the policies are to achieve the objective. Section 205A-2C-7 addresses managing development, and it provides managing development, use, implement, and enforce existing law effectively to maximize the extent possible in managing present and future coastal zone development. B, facilitate timely processing of applications for development permits and resolve overlapping or conflicting permit requirements. And C, communicate the potential short and long-term impacts of proposed significant coastal developments early in their life cycle and in terms understandable to the public to facilitate public participation in the planning review process. So to the best of my understanding, I kind of feel like I'm too loud. Should I back that up a little bit? Okay. So to the best of my understanding, yeah, that's better. The lawsuit below took issue with amendments that the Maui County Planning Commission made or promulgated to its SMA rules as the authority over the SMA, the county local authority over the SMA, regarding the management of developments in the special management area. And the lawsuit appears to primarily take issue with the codification by the amendments to Maui County's SMA rules of definitions of uses, activities, and operations that the Maui County Planning Department and the Maui County Planning Commission determined would be exempted from the definition of development as provided in 205A-22, and thereby not require review by the department or the commission for permitting. So, while I don't want to put these two concepts in conflict, I think they're complementary to one another. We're really talking about managing developments versus this category of uses, activities, and objectives that are not developments and not subject to being reviewed and going through permitting review.
Mr. Bilberry, I'm going to ask you to focus. I think the one of the key issues is the circuit court's determination that these new rules impermissibly delegate
right. The
obligations of the commission to make those assessments as to whether proposed actions are development or not, excluded, et cetera. So I think I'd like you to address this question of the impermissibly delegating to the applicants. I know you took issue with the words user, but to the applicants.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I do think we need to, I don't take so much issue with the word SMA user. I just don't think it has any useful meaning in the context of this case. And the real individual or entity that is the subject of regulation here, and really the subject of the regulation is the uses, activities, and operations proposed by an applicant. But the idea that somehow the commission is impermissibly delegated its authority by codifying these exemptions, I just don't see how that's plausible. These exemptions are provided in the statute itself. The exemptions as codified in the Maui County SMA rules largely track those exemptions provided in the statute. And as far as the idea of a delegation goes, I don't see that the codification of these exemptions is an impermissible delegation to some pre-applicant SMA user.
Except it sidesteps the third step in the Leslie three-step process. Isn't that the problem?
Well, if we were on the Big Island, it would be a problem, but we're not on the Big Island because the Big Island's SMA rules are the only one that provide a definition of development and then a definition of what is not development, by definition excluded from development. And then the Hawaii Island rules say that the things that are defined as not development are in fact development.
Okay, but did the Leslie...
Until the director determines otherwise.
Okay, but did the Leslie... opinion limit application of the three-step process to the Big Island?
Well, it's a Big Island case,
Right, but did it limit it to the Big Island?
Well, I don't know if they expressly limited it to the Big Island, but those are Big Island rules. We're in Maui County. Our rules are different. So the Big Island rules don't apply to Maui County.
205A still applies.
Yes.
Maui Tomorrow appears to be arguing that the statute does include certain exemptions, but the statute says unless these exemptions would have a cumulative effect, then a permit is not required.
Right.
But in that, the statute would require the person seeking the permit to prove that there is no cumulative effect, right? Or who proves that there is no cumulative effect?
Well, the list of all the exempt uses that have been determined get published, and then the public can review those.
No, I'm talking about the statute. Under the statute, somebody has to show that there is no, and under Leslie, who shows that there is no cumulative effect?
Yeah, this is one that is been a question to me for a while, too.
And in terms of delegation, I don't think that the argument that this is an improper delegation is a implausible or preposterous argument, because it appears here Maui County is now saying that the developer gets to say, hey, this does not have a cumulative effect.
Well,
it just gets to certify that there is no cumulative effect.
So
and then the person challenging has to come in and prove that there is a cumulative effect.
So let me address the SMA user, the delegation to the SMA user, which was the original question, and then come back to the third step of the three-step process that you're talking about. I don't know that asking the general public, we're not just talking about developers, we're talking about somebody who wants to put a granite cabinet in their kitchen to replace a Formica cabinet, or somebody who wants to put a new oven in, or somebody who wants to build a laundry room in their existing home. But prior to the proposed amendments to these rules that were proposed by the Maui Planning Commission, the SMA user was already entrusted to determine whether any proposed use, activity, or operation required an SMA assessment because of potential impacts on the environment and the need for regulatory oversight and approval. The amendments don't delegate to some pre-applicant SMA user the Maui Planning Commission's authority to assess cumulative impacts or ecological or environmental effects. Rather, the codified exemptions are regulatory guidelines so that somebody who is considering submitting an application can make a determination as to whether certain minor or routine uses, activities, or operations, and I delineated a number of those on page 5 of my opening brief, which our former planning commissioner listed as uses historically that clearly did not require assessment, that had been received for assessment. But the codified exemptions are guidelines to a pre-applicant citizen to make determinations as to whether a minor or routine use activity or operation requires that citizen to fill out an application, pay a $205 assessment fee, and then call upon municipal planning staff and professionals to review and determine whether their kitchen countertop that they want to put in requires an environmental assessment and possibly an SMA area permit. They're just guidelines.
All right, so you're talking about statutes and statutory construction. That was your initial pitch. 205A22 says whenever the authority finds. And I think that's what we were talking about, or the other questions from my colleagues. When the authority finds, not the interested party finds. So how do you get out of that statutory language? Also, how do you get out of the statutory language of the definition of development itself, which you, Maui County, seems to be rewriting the entire definition of development by carving out these categories?
All right. First, to the first part of that question, which I believe Justice McKenna originally raised. The legislative history in 1979 carved out these exemptions, 17 of them, I believe. I may have that number wrong, but it was quite a number of them. and the legislative history specifically states that, and this is a 1979 Act 200, the definition of development has been amended by adding a number of exemptions to the coverage of this definition. These exemptions deal with activities that are minor, routine, or with activities which are not the type that should be subject to permit procedure. So it was the legislature that carved those exemptions out in the first instance. Now back to the question of who is going to make the determination of a cumulative impact or an ecological or environmental effect. In 1984, the state legislature added additional exemptions to the definition. I mean, these are exclusions. The legislature calls them exemptions. By definition, excluded from the definition of development. So it's not Maui County that invented this.
Well, what Maui County has invented is the term minimal by nature, which seems to be adding an adjective in there. Let's deem it minimal by nature. Can Maui County say, hey, look, a 300-room oceanfront property, yeah, that's modest in character, that's minimal by nature, we're going to have an exemption?
It could say that, but it didn't. I mean, because
right,
be,
but what your logical position is that the counties can essentially subvert the CZMA by declaring whatever they want to declare. And that's where the minimal by nature language from the amended rules come into play here in your use. So it's not just carving out things that legislative history might have had in 1979 and all that kind of stuff. It's the here and now and what has been done.
Right. Yeah,
and can you address how what you've done
well, the here
complies
and
with this plain meaning of the words in the statute?
Yeah, the here and now is what these amendments actually are. And none of those amendments carve out an exemption for a 300-room hotel, I think you were using as the example. They don't do that. I mean, they are, you can read them. And this is what we believe the circuit court judge.
What prevents Maui County from doing that, though?
These folks, right? I mean, yeah. I mean, what prevents them from, yeah, I don't know how to.
But now we get back to the burden.
What prevents them from prevents you from making up any categorical exemptions you want to do? That's really the point I'm getting at with that, and I agree, somewhat farcical, but an example that it's basically the categorical exemptions that bypass the Leslie framework that is really in play here, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think that the Leslie three steps are in play here because, again, that is a specific provision in the Hawaii Island SMA rules, which for some reason and somehow takes the exclusions that are definitionally excluded from the definition of development and puts them back in with the third provision, which says that we're putting them back into the definition of development until the director makes the determination that they're not. That's not required under the state statute. And now back to who determines the cumulative effect. I mean, essentially what the Hawaii Island rules do is say, well, we're going to make it the director, right? That's what the Hawaii Island rules say. The statute, which is the 205A, says, that it's discretionary, and that's what the legislative history says. And in 1984, when the legislature added additional exemptions, taking out certain uses which they defined, I mean, what was to stop the state legislature from saying a 300-room hotel could come under these exclusions? They haven't done that, but they certainly could. Maui County hasn't done that, and it's not going to do that. I mean, that argument basically undermines the state legislature having provided exclusions to the definition of development, in addition to your argument that Maui County is somehow undermining the definition of development. We can't argue that without arguing that the state hasn't done
that. I think the backstop you're actually getting it is the public trust doctrine. And how is the public trust doctrine not implicated by what has gone on here?
Yeah.
Especially when we're talking about a sensitive area like the coastal zone management.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't see any evidence that Maui County's been an irresponsible steward. historically, and that it's breached the public trust.
Is there a non-delegable duty under the public trust doctrine? And some of the questions earlier, again, were going to the statutory language about authority, the delegable duty to letting the interested party determine or not whether it's a development.
I think, again, providing guidelines as to activities, uses, and operations that do not require permitting review is very consistent with 205A-22 and the definitions that the state legislature provided when it said these types of activities are specifically excluded from the definition of development. I don't want to lose track of who's doing the cumulative impact in an ecological environmental effect analysis. In 1984, when the state legislature added additional exemptions to the definition of development, they also said that when they were providing these new exemptions, quote, providing new exemptions to the definition of development in the SMA. So the state's doing it. I mean, we can't make the argument that somehow Maui County is creating a big loophole and undermining the definition of development any more than we can argue the state has done it when it has provided specific exclusions to the definition of development. But back to who's doing the cumulative.
Before you do, Mr. Milbury, I do have a follow-up question on that. Because you started off saying that the exemptions in the Maui Code parity or are provided in the statute itself under 205A-22. If that's true, what would be the need then for the Maui Code 12-202-11.1?
It is going back to part of what the guidelines are here. Communicate potential and short and long-term impacts of proposed significant coastal developments early in the life cycle in terms understandable to the public, to facilitate participation. Anyway, I'm not sure if that's the provision I was looking for, but basically it's their guidelines. I mean, this is giving the public guidelines so they can know that you don't have to submit an SMA assessment application for putting in a new washing machine or doing any sort of interior improvements that aren't going to expand the use of your existing building, right, or your permitted use, which brings us back to who's doing the cumulative impact analysis. When the legislature added additional exemptions in 84, they said these exemptions would not require either a minor permit or an SMA permit. And just quickly, it was the legislature, Justice Eddings, who used the phrase activities which are minor and routine or with activities that are not the type that should be subject to permit procedure. So they said that there were certain activities that were minor and routine. But back to the cumulative impacts and who's doing that assessment. These exemptions, this is 1984, and this is Act 113, they said, the counties, however, may exercise their discretion in requiring a permit for activities that are part of a larger development. So that provision that talks about assessing cumulative impacts and or environmental.
I'm sorry, where does that appear in the statute?
It's in the legislative history, Your Honor.
It's not in the statute.
It's not in the statute. But the legislative history said the counties, however, may exercise. The statute had already been passed prior to Act 113 in 1984. So this is the legislature reflecting on the meaning of that language. And they said the counties, however, may exercise their discretion in requiring a permit for activities that are part of a larger development and which may cumulatively have impacts on an environment. So it's part of a larger development. A part of a larger development is conjunctive here with may have a cumulative impact on the environment. And that can mean one of two things, that either the use or activity that's being proposed is expanding the existing use of a previously permitted or use activity or operation, or that it's somehow been improperly segmented from a larger development and thus may require further review for potential cumulative impacts and permitting. If certain actions, which certainly can be defined, are not part of a larger development, then there's no other reason to evaluate them after they've been determined exempt from the definition of development, which the state legislature did in 1979 and in 1984 when they created their list of exclusions. I don't know if that addressed the issue.
I'd like to ask you, you know, stepping away from the specifics of the statute, what do you view then the commission's role in assessing whether permits are required, just in general? At what point does the commission step in?
I believe developers are still going to be submitting applications for not just SMA permits, SMA minor and SMA major permits. They're going to have to do that if their development doesn't come within any of those exclusions. And those exclusions don't swallow the rule, right? They are very limited exclusions in the statute. Granted, I mean, maybe in the future they could, you know, somebody could come in and do that, but I think that would be contested. I think it would be contested. But I'm sorry, I may have
so run away going from back to sort of my general sense and question as to how the county views the commission's role here. Part of the challenge, and I think part of the concern, or the major concern by the circuit court, was the county was sort of writing itself out of any activity of oversight that certainly the circuit court thought was the commission's responsibility. And for instance, with regards to subsections K, L, and M of 12202.11.1, it requires a declaration, right, from an applicant that they don't require a permit.
Yeah.
And yet, the circuit court said nobody even looks at those declarations.
So
that's part of what the concern is. What is the proper role of the commission here?
Right. Those particular provisions, sub-provisions, are uses, activities, and operations, which are a little broader than some of the others, right? And so they felt it was necessary to provide a safeguard. Filing the declaration is to give public notice. And that's the way exemption determinations are done already, is that when there's a determination of an exemption, the Planning Commission gets a list of all of them. I believe it's monthly. And these are exemption determinations made by the Department of Planning, the director. The list gets compiled, gets given to the Planning Commission. It's published. There's public notice. Anybody that sees something on that list that they think needs to be reviewed can intervene or file an appeal.
So
the declarations serve the same purpose.
It's for the public, somebody in the public then, to step forward and challenge.
So the commission is totally out of it.
Well, no, the commissioners review applications for developments.
No, but you're talking about public oversight. We're talking about commission oversight.
Right.
What role is the commission playing? Because
they
the statute
are,
makes it real clear. It's the authority that has to find.
The commission is managing developments. I don't think
what does that mean? I don't know what that means.
That means that if somebody's going to engage in a use, activity, or operation in the SMA that doesn't fall within any of these exclusions, but is a development, they have to submit an application for that. And they may ask the commission to assess it. That's still going to happen. Commission, please assess this use, activity, or operation I'm proposing for the SMA.
And what if the declaration says there is no cumulative effect? There's no effect at all.
What's that?
Applicant says there's no effect at all.
Well,
nothing
if they submit
to look
the
at
application,
here.
It's going to get assessed.
It's what?
If they submit an application, it's going to get assessed.
Assessed as to what?
The commission's going to look at it and determine whether it's a development, and if it is, whether it's going to have a cumulative impact or an ecological effect.
You're saying the commission's going to do that?
Absolutely.
Under these rules?
Only if it's a development, you keep saying. Only if it's a development. But you're saying that if it's in the category that's not a development under your rules, then who looks at it?
Well, anybody who feels like they have a question as to whether they're proposed.
Not anyone. I'm asking about the commission on an excluded activity.
Yeah,
who's
listen,
looking at that?
They can't go out and police every single act, use or operation that occurs in the SMA, people, you have to, I mean, you have to trust the public. You have to trust them to read the law, understand regulations.
Well, that's their whole point.
And make
you know, you're leaving it to the applicants policing themselves, and that divests the commission of the role they're supposed to be.
Not any more than they, not any more entrusted than they are now. Because they still, right now,
I disagree with that.
Of course, I mean, it's your prerogative, but right now.
Well, because it goes against the plain language and plain meaning of the statute.
Members of the public still have to decide whether the use, activity, or operation that they are going to engage in the SMA should be submitted to the Planning Commission for an assessment. That's the reality. And some people look at the regulations and say, yes, I've got to submit it to have them evaluated. And some people say, I don't. That's the state of affairs right now. This is no different.
Okay, but I'm not sure you're explaining how you're getting around the plain language of the statute. And that's really what we're trying to, at least I'm trying to get clarity on.
Which language is that? Because I definitely want to provide clarity
if
I can.
You're past your five, maybe you can come back.
Okay, I got 5 minutes, I guess, to come back. And I would like to address that.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for your time and your patience.
Aloha aia olo olo ai, ka aha ho kolo kolo kie kie, aloha and it please the court. The county, in essence, is asking the court to consider four questions related to the extent of its authority over SMA permitting, and whether the rule amendments were consistent with 205A or exceeded the commission's authority. And whether the circuit court erred in treating the rules as an unlawful delegation to private users, and whether the circuit court erred in validating 12.202.11.1, 11.2, and 12 without a more specific analysis. First, SMA users, which is broader than the category of applicants, cannot be delegated the authority to determine whether or not SMA compliance is required. In Hui Alaloa versus the Maui Planning Commission, the court specifically there addressed, which I think it was very important, it was at the end of the decision, that the burden is always on the commission to prove that a permit is appropriate. And that's because the language of the statute for the SMA says that a permit should not be granted unless all of the requirements are found. And so by delegating the power to determine whether or not the SMA is applicable to a private party completely switches the burden. Note, the commission no longer has the burden to prove that the permit, that a permit or a permit is not required, is appropriate. The court followed that reasoning in Protect and Preserve Kahoma Ahupua'a Association. And I think one of the confusions between the statutory exemption and what the rules are doing is that the statutory exemption is a conditional or a contingent exemption. So it defines development with the five categories, and then it provides this list, which has expanded over the years, of contingent or conditional exemptions. But what the Planning Commission's rules propose to do is to remove that condition and make it categorical. So it's no longer contingent. The exemption is no longer contingent on the subsequent language at the end of that section of the definition that says, provided that whenever the authority determines there's a significant impact or a cumulative effect, the exemption doesn't apply. And that, I think, is at the core of what the problem with the exemption rule is that it removes that conditionality or contingency.
But Mr. Bilberry appears to be arguing that that's not being done anyway. That's what I was hearing from his argument, that provided that isn't really being looked at by the Maui County commission, planning commission, or is it based on your experience?
Well, you know, Your Honor, the examples, you know, of like children building sandcastles, those are not, nobody seeks an assessment of kids building sandcastles.
That's not a development under the definition.
Well, exactly. And that's our point. And it wasn't subject to the rules either. So,
right.
You know, those kinds of, I don't think that the recreational uses of the public to the shoreline, those are never subject to assessments.
Does it fall under an exemption or exclusion?
Well, I think,
because that's what they seem to be arguing here. It's, you know, it's logical and gets into very absurd results.
Well, but in Leslie, it said that the court shouldn't apply a literal construction of the statute if there were an absurd result. And I think saying that, you know, children who make sandcastles have to be subject to an SMA assessment to determine whether they're exempt is a hyper-literal construction that completely leads to an absurdity. I mean, part of the issue with that is that Section 2, the policies and objectives of the Coastal Zone Management Act is to provide access for recreational uses in the shoreline. And so to say that, well, these recreational uses would now, it's all hypothetical because there was no rule that we challenged that either exempted or didn't exempt sandcastle making. I mean, the public's problem accessing the shoreline is mostly, you know, hotel security hassling people or, you know, public parking disappearing and nobody can get to the shoreline. I mean, that's for the public. That's usually the problem. Worrying about an assessment, it's like a hypothetical that I don't think would ever exist.
Mr. Collins, do you agree that at the moment and under these rules, these amended rules, that the commission's role is triggered once an application is filed? And if you don't agree with that, how do you disagree with it?
Well, I think one of the concerns about the new rules is that, you know, the example was like, well, if somebody doesn't submit an SMA assessment, you know, and they basically go rogue, and then somebody, let's say under Section 6, files an original action against them saying, well, you're violating the SMA, you didn't, you know, get a permit. Permits required for development. In that situation, the individual is like, what are they going to rely on? It's like, oh, well, I didn't think a permit was required or something like that. But under these new rules, as my colleague said, they can say, well, we're just following the rules. The rules said we didn't need to file anything. That's, I think, the problem with the new rules versus if someone just decides that they're not going to comply with the law is that by categorically exempting all sorts of things, now people are going to be able to say, well, the commission, it's part of their rules. And, you know, there's a presumption of regularity in the commission's rules. So I was just, you know, I'm now going to shelter under the...
That's a disagreement with the substance of the rules. I guess my question about the commission's role kind of goes to this idea that the circuit court determined there was this impermissible delegation, right? So that kind of is what is in my mind in terms of like, how do we determine then when the commission should step in? If there was an impermissible delegation, in what way?
So one of the things that my colleague mentioned near the ending is that there's the filing of the declarations and that I guess in theory somebody could appeal those declarations.
For those three subsections you're talking about, right?
For the three that even have a declaration, right?
Okay.
So for that, for example, the second to the last paragraph of 11.1 of the rules, the new rules, says the department does not review or respond to the filing of declarations. And then if you look at 26, which is in substance is still the same as the old version, it says that it's only the director's decisions that are subject to commission review. You can only appeal the director's decision. But if the department's not reviewing or responding to a filing of a declaration, what do you appeal? You can't appeal anything. And so you end up back in the Gatry situation that it falls onto members of the public to file an original action. And then the courts end up taking on the role of having to make these determinations about SMA uses, whereas in Dansel versus Arakawa, they pointed specifically to this provision, which was adopted after Gatry, and ruled that primary jurisdiction applied because it's the commission's duty to make the determination about whether uses in the SMA.
So specifically, as to these new rules that are being challenged here in this case, what is it about these particular new rules that constitute the impermissible delegation?
It's the moving to private parties, persons who are doing some use in the SMA, of making the determination about whether the finding of whether there is a cumulative effect or significant impact.
So before these new rules were adopted, how was that brought to the commission? How was that issue brought to the commission?
An SMA user would file a SMA assessment, and the director would make an initial determination that the three-step Leslie process.
So how do these new rules affect that? I mean, whether somebody files an application or not, I think is what Mr. Bilber's. I'm trying to understand the procedural aspect, I suppose, as to how these issues get before the commission that somehow are impacted by these new rules.
So there's two separate things. One, there's an application for a permit, and then the other is the assessment, the SMA assessment.
Whether it's a development or not.
Whether, is it a development? Is it exempted from the development? Is it still a development because it has a significant impact or a cumulative effect? So it's the assessment point where for, I guess it's $200 now, an individual can submit this to the director. The director makes a determination makes an assessment about whether or not it's a development. And then once a month, all of the director's assessments and exemptions are part of a Maui Planning Commission agenda, and it gives the public 30 days or 10 days, sorry, to appeal the director's decision to the Planning Commission. And then that determination is done. Under the new rules, that would not happen anymore. So either you have all of the categories of exemptions that don't require declaration, and so then the SMA user is the one making their own assessment about whether or not the Coastal Zone Management Act applies to their action.
And it's because in your view, there are no assessments now being filed because the users are just determining, I don't even need to file or request an assessment.
Well, fortunately, Judge Hammond did not allow those provisions of the new rules to go into effect, so that we're still following the old procedure.
No. But what I mean is, under the new rules, if you have the new rules, your problem with the new rules is that folks are going to just say, I don't need to file an assessment or request for an assessment.
They don't need to file a request for an assessment anymore.
How is that different then from what the statute already provides certain definitions of the exclusions? Do people already, in whether it's on Maui or other counties, look at 205A22 and look at those exemptions and go, I'm under those exemptions. I don't need to file anything.
Well,
how is that different?
The difference between the statute and the rules is that the statute is a conditional exemption. So at the end, it says the authority makes findings in the statute. But the rules don't have that. It's a categorical. It's basically pre-finding that everything that's on that list is not subject to.
Okay, good. So how does that question get before the authority? How does that question of whether it's as to the cumulative impact or significant environmental or ecological effect on the SMA get before the authority?
A user files the assessment, the SMA assessment, to determine whether or not their use is exempt and does not create a significant impact or a cumulative effect.
So all of that is still triggered by somebody, a user, within an SMA user, having to initiate something before the commission. Or the director.
Before the director.
Yeah,
director. And Your Honor, just so that I also want to clear up that we cited the rules in our answering brief, but both Honolulu and Kauai do require, in Honolulu, the city council has delegated that duty to the director. So there is somebody in government that is making that determination.
So really, I think what it comes down to is just the rules encourage folks not to seek an assessment, perhaps.
Right. The delegated authority is basically it shelters, instead of people being like, well, I just decided not to follow the rules, I mean, not to follow the statute, now they're saying, well, we followed the rules that the Planning Commission adopted. That's where the Planning Commission is like, our authority or our duty under the statute is to make a finding of either no significant impact or no cumulative effect, and now we're just going to do that by rule. So now, like, categorically, so that it's not on a use-by-use basis, but instead it's just categorically. Anything the legislature conditionally said could be exempt, we're just saying categorically is exempt.
Okay, so that's a procedural aspect. I take it you have substantive disagreements with the new rules as well?
A few.
Before you get into that, I just want to make sure I understand. You're saying that Oahu and Kauai do follow the three-step, this assessment process under Leslie, right? Following the Leslie analysis.
Yes. And actually, if you go
So is it only Maui that takes the position that Leslie only applies to the Big Island?
I'm not familiar with any other county taking the position that Maui County has taken. And in part five of the Leslie decision on page 396, the decision says the SMA use permit requirement is governed by the three-step process found in HRS 205A-22.
It doesn't say Kauai, it doesn't say Big Island rules, right?
It doesn't say the Big Island rules. It's specifically the three-step analysis comes from the statute, which is if you read the definition of development, it's has the five categories, it has the exemptions, and then it has the conditionality thing, the third step at the end of the definition of development. So, another point is that the power to adopt rules to implement the SMA laws within the Coastal Zone Management Act is that authority is implementary, it's not deregulatory. And we make the argument that the requirement that rules implement existing laws is basically an anti-backsliding provision, and that the commission cannot lessen its obligations to protect the SMA by basically repealing protections that it has already adopted, because then it would no longer be implementing existing law.
You know, let me ask you about it. Did you come up with the term backsliding? Where does that come from, Mr. Collins?
It's by my co-counsel, and I thought that's the most concise and pithy way of describing the phenomenon that we see the statute requiring.
Okay, so that's okay. I was wondering about that.
But you know, I'm not saying that. You know, this legislature, of course, is always allowed to amend the Coastal Zone Management Act, and that anti-backsliding requirement is really towards the counties. It's not. I mean, the state, of course, has its public trust duties, has some limitations, but it's that really is focused on the rulemaking authority of.
So a county is never ever allowed even a slight, tiny little bit to be less protective than a prior rule.
Well, not in this circumstance, because I don't think this is just a slightly less – this is like a wholesale deregulation of –
Because let's say Maui decides, hey, we want to match Honolulu. Oh, well, that's backsliding, perhaps. Or Maui says we want to match Kauai, but Kauai is, you know, marginally less stringent. Well, that's backsliding. And it strikes me that the Coastal Zone Management Act is a statewide provision, and we're almost getting into this patchwork sort of idea if we adopt your not only your term backsliding but your theories behind that statute.
Yeah, well, existing law actually appears in the Federal Coastal Zone Management Act too, but I would say if Maui County were to adopt less protective rules that were similar, the same as Kauai or Hawaii Island, that would probably run afoul of our view that the statute has this anti-backsliding provision. Honolulu, I think, would be a little bit different because Honolulu has the authority of for the CZMA, the SMA authority in Honolulu is the Honolulu City Council, and they're not subject, they're subject to a whole different set of requirements. And so if Maui County were to switch to that, I don't know that it would necessarily be backsliding. I do think it is problematic that there's this patchwork.
It's problematic. I mean, it seems like you've essentially crafted a permanent situation where the rules are really locked in without any flexibility under that theory.
Well, I mean, if I think at that point, the purpose of implementing existing law is to, you know, if there were a need to basically backslide, that would be a determination for the legislature to make, as opposed to a future planning commission.
You know, I mean, looking at switching gears a little bit, I mean, looking at 205A22, I mean, isn't that really your strongest argument here? You know, whenever the authority finds cumulative impact and excluded use becomes a development, and yet, you know, the amended rules of Maui County basically eliminated any mechanism there for the authority to, you know, make that finding with respect to those 15 exempted activities. I mean, isn't that the closest way to really frame things here for you?
Yes, Your Honors. And if you agree with our argument there and you don't agree with our anti-black sliding thing, please feel free to ignore it entirely and not mention it anywhere in the opinion.
Do you think that the counties can provide greater protection than provided under 205A?
Yes, and that, I believe, is the scope of the discretion that was discussed. The county can always, the CZMA and the SMA is really the floor, and the counties are able to provide greater protections. One of the problems, I think, with, and this is, goes back to the patchwork issue, is that there have been changes to how the state's coastal zone management program has sort of operated, and so there's been this sort of less oversight by the state, and now, you know, I don't believe these rules were ever submitted to NOAA, which, you know, under how the CZMA used to work, that was required, and it worked. Now, the way that the state...
When did that change?
I believe it was in the 90s, but the state's plan is now so flexible that it doesn't... Any kind of change that's done at the county level no longer requires any review by the federal government anymore. And so that's...
Or no state agency.
Or the state agents, right, or the coordinating agency for the state. And so I think that that's one of the reasons why there's become this patchwork, is that the original system that was provided for in the 1970s is not really followed in that respect anymore. And so each county is sort of left to its own devices. I wanted to touch on the... issue related to 12C11 of the new rules. One of the big concerns about allowing determinations by the county to occur with a draft environmental assessment is that there are really no standards for a draft environmental assessment. I mean, if somebody wanted to have a one-page drawing in crayon as their draft environmental assessment, there's no rule, there's no statute that prohibits that from being the draft environmental assessment. The key is that all of the standards for an environmental assessment occur when it's the final environmental assessment. And the purpose of a final environmental assessment or an environmental impact statement is to look at whatever the project is in its entirety.
Well, doesn't Kauai and its assessment process not require a final environmental assessment? Are they doing things unlawfully?
Your Honor, I don't know the answer to that question at this moment. But
you would agree that under, I guess it's 3-1C of their rules, their SMA rules, they don't require a final assessment.
If that is the case, Your Honor, I'm sure I'll get a phone call about it this afternoon, and I might be back here in a few years on that point. But if Kauai
isn't the difference, no. But I mean, maybe there might not anything be wrong with that. But isn't it key? And I think what I read from perhaps what I see from the Maui argument is that there's a conflation of assessment and permitting, and Kauai at least in the final permitting process requires a final EA. Can you comment upon what perhaps might be conflation with regards to the county's arguments about the assessment process and the permitting process? So those are two distinct things, aren't they?
The assessment process is well, I know some people who feel like they have to go through the assessment process feel like it's this huge red tape burden, but it is relatively summary. And if you ever look at Maui Planning Commission agendas, there's like a spreadsheet list that gets attached to the last page of an agenda once a month. And people get their assessments, and that's the end of it. An application for a permit is much more extensive. You have to give notice in the newspaper. You have to mail certified letters to, you know, people who owners that live around the development. And they're, you know, in the opening brief, there was some discussion of that by my colleague about contested cases. The only time there's any of that happens in an assessment is if somebody believes the director is wrong and is monitoring planning commission agendas. And it's in my experience, the director's appeals of the director's decisions for assessments are typically things that I don't know would necessarily shouldn't have been exempted, or it's something that's, it's usually not small things like somebody trying to change a washing machine or something like that. It's usually something that's much more significant that is, you know, I guess somebody could say it was on the line or something, or it's actually over the line and somehow got through. That's, I think, the difference between the assessment and the application for a permit is that the application for a permit takes years usually to get through. It's not something that's quick, whereas the assessment is much more summary, and then the appeal period is, you know, relatively short as well. And it's not a full-blown contested case when it's an appeal of the director's decision, because the record the director had is much smaller than if you go through an application for a permit. Then it's basically like a mini trial. I mean, that we have one case in South Maui that's been in a contested case for 7 years. And what the hotel just did was they got 16 SMA exemptions to parcel out the development. That's maybe one day going to end up on appeal. But I mean, the thing is that that's the difference between an application for a permit and an assessment, is that the assessments are very summary.
One provision we haven't really talked about with regards to the assessment in the new rules is 12202.12. And that one, you know, I think maybe that answers some of the issues that we're dealing with, because under the new rules, any proposed action in the SMA that does not fully fall within the categorical exemptions, right, which is that whole new list in the new rules, shall be subject to an assessment. So if you don't fully come within those categorical exemptions, and it says you then shall be subject to an exemption. And what the circuit court did was amended that rule to provide that all proposed actions be assessed, essentially. I'm paraphrasing that. Isn't that a key issue here? Because I think it answers part of what my concern is how to, whether you're going to get an assessment, it still requires somebody to propose an action. But it looks like under the new rule, if it's within those exemptions, you don't even have to get an assessment. There's no requirement for anybody to do an assessment.
Right, and that's the problem from our perspective.
And of course, you know, the county may have a different perspective on that, but I'm trying to understand that part of it.
Your Honor, I think, you know, most people who have, they have a home in the special management area, which for Maui County, like in South Maui, is everything Makai of Pi'ilani Highway and similar on the west side. Everything that's Makai of Honoa Pi'ilani Highway is part of the SMA. You know, people who live there in those areas, you know, most people will just get an assessment because they don't want to have any hassle about stuff later. And there's some people who obviously won't comply with that, and they're risking it. And if somebody finds out, they'll get in trouble. But the new rules don't, there isn't that at all. Instead, if somebody doesn't file a all the sections that don't require doing anything, and then there's the three with the declarations. But under both of them, nobody's reviewing anything. And if somebody's made a mistake, they just say, well, but the rules just said this is all we had to do. Whereas the old rules had an obligation for a user to get an assessment. And then if they got the assessment and it went, you know, then the director made a mistake, but then it went to the Planning Commission and nobody appealed it, well, Everybody had their notice, and there was a process. But in here, there's no notice, there's no process, and nobody will know anything if somebody decides that they're not going to comply, unless they're like snooping on their neighbors, you know, oh, my neighbor's, you know, building an extension or something, and then somehow thinks to go somewhere and look up and they get an assessment.
See those as well.
Exactly. I mean, it becomes this untenable enforcement approach. And so, yes, people don't comply with the law. That's something that exists under any kind of regulatory regime. But this just invites whole blinding to whole parts of the special management area that are intended to be looked at closely.
Thank you.
With respect to the argument that the circuit court's concise order was error, our position remains that review of the issues before the circuit court are de novo, and that the appellate court can affirm on any ground supported by the record, and that in this procedural posture of this case, the circuit court was not required to make more extensive findings. The rules conflicted with Chapter 205A, regardless of how concise Judge Hammond was. And, Your Honors, we ask that the decision of Judge Hammond be affirmed, and that the appeal of the County of Maui be overruled. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, quickly.
You know, you're catching questions toward the end. We'll add a couple more minutes onto your rebuttal.
Oh, thank you. So I need to just say this. I don't know if it's an argument or an observation, but it strikes me as more of an observation. I don't think the public is being asked to make the determination of cumulative impacts. They're only being asked to review guidelines to decide whether a use, activity, or operation which they're contemplating engaging in comes within an exclusion which the department has already determined will not have cumulative impacts. So I think to some extent we have to trust that the department has done its homework and has sat down and said these are the types of uses, activities, and operations that could occur in the SMA, which we can look at categorically and say are not going to have a cumulative impact, right? Unless they're part of a expansion of an existing use or part of a larger development or somehow segmented from a larger project. So it's not that the public's being asked to make a determination, is my activity going to have a cumulative impact? They're being asked to look at guidelines that have been provided where the department has already made that determination. There's always going to be discretion on the part of the pre-applicant to decide whether they have to submit an application. That's the condition that exists today. Whether anyone in the public submits an SMA assessment application under the current regime is totally in their discretion, looking at the regulations and having to make a decision whether that's something they're required to do. The city and county of Honolulu and the county of Kauai do not follow this three-step process. The city and county of Honolulu special management area rules section 25-5.1 specifically provides for a information preliminary determination. The applicant may request a special management area use determination in which the applicant provides a summary of the proposal to the agency, and the agency makes a preliminary determination about whether the proposal constitutes a development for purposes of this chapter. That doesn't involve determining not development and then going back, or that doesn't involve assuming development and then going to determine whether it's not development and then assessing whether it has a cumulative impact and then putting it back in development. That's just a preliminary assessment. And that's what Maui County currently does with its assessment application. County of Kauai, similarly, special management area rules and regulations for the County of Kauai, section 7.1, specifically provides if an applicant believes the proposed use, activity, or development may be exempt from the formal application process, may be eligible for a minor permit.
Your time is, Ron, you want to wrap it up?
Yeah, it is.
We give you a few extra minutes.
I'm sorry?
We gave you a few extra minutes.
Okay. Are you asking me to wrap up?
Yes, if you don't
Okay, mind. Yeah. On June 3rd, Governor Josh Green signed House Bill number 1823, and that is an amendment to the SMA, not the SMA, but to Chapter 205A-22. And I don't know that it's provides any revelation that wasn't already contained in the legislative history, but it basically tracks 205A-22. I don't believe this particular amendment has a number yet, but it provides for the definition of development for counties with a population between 150,000 and 200,000, meaning Maui County in this instance, and says specifically, the bill itself says, the legislature finds that the Coastal Zone Management Act's permitting framework is intended to regulate special management area development while allowing certain activities to proceed without unnecessary delay. These activities expressly excluded from the statutory definition of development are not intended to be subject to special management area permit requirements. So again, the legislature is recognizing there are activities and uses that are routine and minor that can be excluded, as determined in this instance by the Maui Planning Commission, is not having a cumulative impact or an environmental or ecological effect, and not have to go through SMA review and permitting.
Okay. I'm sorry, Council. We're going to have to conclude at this point.
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Court appreciates the arguments. Yeah. We'll take this matter under advisement. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Please rise. Ua ho'o ku'u ia mai ne kea aha ho kolo kolo ki ike hanahano o ka moka aina o Hawaii. Honorable Supreme Court of the State of Hawaii is now adjourned.